Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to jump straight into an interview. I actually had a communique with Trevor Lawton. He sent me a message in Facebook and said, hey, GR, you need to check out this conversation he's had with Epoch Times. Bottom line, we were going to bring him on. Getting him connected with us so that we can do that interview is usually pretty tough. So it's more important getting the message out than getting that personal, conversation. It's always nice to be able to talk to friends. But more importantly, this information really needs to be in your hands so that you understand who is really behind this Bolshevik revolution. These are not coincidences. There is direct ties to the Democratic Party and the Chinese Communist Party. And so in this conversation, there's no doubt in my mind that what Trevor Lawton is going to give you or expose to the audience regarding this interviewer on Epoch Times are the details and the facts as to who is truly behind the undermining of our Constitution and our Republic. And so here we go. This is the interview that we picked up from Trevor from Epoch Times as well. So here we go.
Trevor Lawton, it's great having you back on Crossroads.
Great to be here. Thanks, Josh. Well, let's get into it.
Yeah, so you and I have worked together quite a bit at Epoch Times, where you work as a columnist, of course. A lot of your work for, 3 decades now or more has been exposing communist front operations and different radical groups, especially in the United States. And it just so happens that now Antifa, different elements within Black Lives Matter coming out protesting, starting riots. You've been at the forefront of saying these guys are not just grassroots, at least the main batch of them. The ones pulling the strings are not grassroots. Tell us about the organizations behind the riots that we're seeing.
Well, most of the rioting is actually done being organized by 2 pro-Chinese communist parties, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization based out of Minneapolis, and Liberation Road, which is the parent body of Black Lives Matter, which is based in the Bay Area and has very close ties to the Chinese consulate there and the Chinese Progressive Association. So you've really got to think this is basically a Chinese-directed movement.
Now, there's been a lot of reporting about the Chinese Progressive Association. As a bit of context for our viewers, basically, there was this donation page for one of the Black Lives Matter leaders. It led to the Chinese Progressive Association. A lot of media, Daily Signal, others reported that this organization appeared to be tied to the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and tied to Black Lives Matter. This caused a lot of reporting saying, is Black Lives Matter connected to the CCP? New York Times then came out with a piece arguing this was fake. And the basis of that was they said, well, the organization tied to the CCP is different from the one everyone is saying is tied to this one. They said it's a different organization under the same name. What would you say to those allegations?
Well, they're incorrect. See, there's a Chinese Progressive Association Boston, and there's a Chinese Progressive Association San Francisco. Now, both of them are controlled by Liberation Road. Both of them are controlled by Maoist communists who've been a part of the same groups for 50 years now. They might be organizationally autonomous, but they are part of the same movement. And the CPA Boston is very close ties and does actually official work for the Chinese consulate in New York. And the Chinese Progressive Association in San Francisco is also very closely tied to the Chinese consulate in that city. So they're both pro-Chinese and they're both front groups for the same communist organization, even though they may be organizationally autonomous. They have their own separate board, etc. But they're certainly part of the same movement.
Now, you mentioned 2 different organizations which are allegedly pulling the strings behind a lot of these riots. First one, let's start with Freedom Road Socialists. What is Freedom Road Socialists, and how are they tied to China?
Well, they're openly pro-China on their webpage. They have big pictures of Mao and quoting Xi Jinping, and they openly say they are pro-China. And they have been part of the Maoist movement for 40 years now. But they have people visiting China. They have some of their cadre live in China, and they follow the Chinese line. They defend China, saying, no, China's not to blame for the COVID virus. China's leading the world and fighting the COVID virus. They completely follow the Chinese line and openly state their support for China on their webpages. So they are the group that sparked the riot in Minneapolis. They have a group up there called Twin Cities Justice for Jamar, and it's led by Jess Sundin, the wife of the leader of Freedom Road Socialist Organization. And I released a video of from a podcast she did, admitting that she was the main organizer of the riots, talking about the joy they felt when they saw Precinct 3 being burnt to the ground, and the fact that the violence and the looting and the arson was intrinsically part of the movement. It wasn't peaceful demonstrations being hijacked. She admitted they were intrinsic parts. The violence was completely part of what they were doing. And so they spread. They are the same people who burnt Kenosha, Wisconsin, the same people that did riots in Dallas, Houston, Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa, Salt Lake City, Los Angeles, and several other cities around the country, all coordinated through the same group. And the leader of the group, Steph Yurek, the day that Trump was inaugurated in January 2017, said that our job is to destroy the president by making this country ungovernable. Direct quote.
And what was the other organization that was involved with this? You talked about the Freedom Road Socialists. What was the other one?
Liberation Road, which used to be part of Freedom Road, but they split some years ago, mainly over their ties to the Democratic Party. One wanted to work with the Democrats, one didn't. So Liberation Road is the parent body of Black Lives Matter. Liberation Road are the people who burnt Ferguson, Missouri to the ground in 2014. And Liberation Road, Alicia Garza, Therese Kaluz, and Opal Tometi, the three founders of Black Lives Matter, are all directly affiliated to Liberation Road. And Liberation Road is the communist group that controls both the Chinese Progressive Association Boston and the Chinese Progressive Association San Francisco.
So aside from being tied to the Chinese Progressive Association, do they have any other ties to the Chinese regime, or is the main link through the CPA?
Well, look, one of the heads of, there's an allied group to Black Lives Matter. It's called Asians for Black Lives. And they cross over with Black Lives Matter. They're allied. Two of the leading founders of that, one is Alex Tom, the past president, the past CEO of Asians, of a Chinese Progressive Association, and the other one is Eric Ma, another past CEO of the Chinese Progressive Association. Alex Tom is directly in contact with the Chinese, embassy or consulate. He says, we go to them. We have direct contact with them. We go to them for advice. I have tape of him saying this. He has also lived in China, and he openly boasts of having contact with Chinese Communist Party members. So this Asians for Black Lives is a sister group for Black Lives Matter and helps to support them. Eric Ma is also a very close ally of a man called Russell Lowe, an identified agent of the Chinese Communist Party, who was working out of Dianne Feinstein's office, Senator Dianne Feinstein's office, for 20 years. So there's a lot of direct Chinese, communist Chinese ties to Asians for Black Lives Matter, the Chinese Progressive Association, and Black Lives Matter. They're all working and intertwined together.
Trevor, I know there was another organization that had, it was one of the radical organizations pushing for race politics in the United States, focused heavily on the black community. And I understand these organizations revitalized this movement right ahead of the riots. Will you tell us about this organization?
You're talking about the National Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. Well, that the NAAPR, that is a Front for Freedom Road socialist organization. The Twin Cities Justice for Jamal, the people who started the riots in Minneapolis, are the Minneapolis affiliate of that organization. And that was originally a Communist Party front group back in the 1970s. It was set up to free Angela Davis, the iconic black communist who was then being held on murder charges. But they refounded the organization in November 2019 in Chicago with the explicit purpose of agitating racially against the police in this year. It was all time for election year. So the National Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression is headed by Freedom Road Socialist Organization Central Committee member Frank Chapman. It is their group, and they are the ones who coordinated the riots all over the country.
And tomorrow on October 7th, the Vice President Mike Pence and Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Kamala Harris will be holding...
So we'll just basically leave it right there, and we will be back after these two promos, because bottom line, we ran out of segment time. And I'll give you some editorializing as we get back into the disruption project and what this Bolshevik revolution is really trying to do, and how they're successful in convincing these useful idiots, your children, into basically throwing away their liberty. So we'll be right back after these two promos. So please hang on. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
I love the fact that Trevor is not only willing but brave enough to name names and actually call these people out for what they're doing. The only reason why people like that are allowed to exist is because if somebody took him down, then it would legitimize everything he's saying. In contrary, when you have the kind of presence, and so I'll just say that Trevor Lawton has been around for a long time, and he's been reporting with Fox News, doing movies and so forth. So He's one of those people that has kind of established himself to really understand, and this is why he's a subject matter expert on communism and its infiltration in the American political system. So this is one of the reasons why we're very proud of the fact that Trevor Lawton is going to be our subject matter expert on that very particular topic with these rodeos for Republic Review as we start setting these things up. Again, this is all based on finance and funding. I hate to beg. I have people that completely believe in what we're doing. We hope to get all the finance necessary. But if we don't, then I have no idea. I have faith that we're going to get the financing. So I'll just leave it at that. Let me get back into this disruption project, because I'm covering this all this week as we lead into the election, so that you have a good understanding, not what is happening, but why it is happening. So this is where they are. They're now talking about the false declaration of victory. This is on disruptionproject.org. And this is their handbook. And the actions need to be sustained is the subtopic. As the protests in Minneapolis, Ferguson, Portland, Seattle, and countless others here and abroad show, our action needs to be both sufficiently disruptive and sustained over weeks or even months. One of the things you need to do is you need to start pursuing, I'm editorializing here, folks, you need to actually start pursuing your county commissioners, demanding they prove how this is a First Amendment right for them to get out and block commerce. And actually use my article that I wrote on this regarding what is the real problem, martial law in the 21st century, as well as the unseen teeth in the Constitution. Take the evidence that I've given you, go into those articles, and present your case in a petition to your county representatives. Demand that they comply to the Constitution and actually hold people accountable. They must stop all of this unlawfulness and basically tell the cities and or the municipal, you know, police officers and or, because a lot of times the county has that kind of pull, and or they can call the sheriff in, and then the sheriff will have the ability to work with the militia if the city police force refuses to work with them. I tell you something, if the city police forces refuse to work with the sheriff in upholding the Constitution, they are going to find themselves alienated very quickly with the mainstream folks, because I don't know anybody that owns a home. I don't know everybody that is, I don't want to say everybody that is somebody, but people that actually have, I think, political clout are those who own cars and those who own property and those who have skin in the game. These kids, these teachers, these educators, these far-left rabid communist Bolsheviks that are trying to revolt, they don't have any skin in the game. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to steal your property, steal your liberty, and push you out. So moving forward, this might mean holding space for a long period of time. Seattle's autonomous zone, it might mean returning to the same location night after night. Portland and Minneapolis. We need to anticipate the resources involved in this: time, human bodies, food, water, money, right-wing reactions, and etc. See, they're really painting this picture of going all out and all in for this revolution. There's no doubt that the left sees the opportunity because they believe that there's a good chance with Trump over the next 4 years that they may lose more holdings and more ground. I'm of the opinion that I don't think so. I don't think, because I've yet to see anybody do a perp walk. I've yet to see the swamp be drained. I don't know if Trump has any fortitude or if he's kept some of his promises, but he hasn't been able to keep all of his promises. And so the question lies, why? Why is it that he hasn't? Maybe there's good reasons for it, But until we see those things, until we see tangible results in getting rid of corruption in government and getting government out of indoctrinating children and all of the things that the evil social engineering and the communist movement has done over the past century, I mean, there's a lot to unravel. Anyway, back to the false declaration of victory by the disruptionproject.org. Actions need to be leaderful. That's kind of a funny way of saying it, but let me move on. It's important to locate strategic thinking and offer strategic tools at the grassroots level. If our different organizations, crews, and affinity groups have a shared understanding of the strategy involved, we can accommodate different tactics, different groups taking lead on actions at different times, and trust that individual participants and organizers can move with confidence that they are furthering movement goals. This doesn't mean that every group you try to organize with immediately, see, it's not me. It's some of the words that they've actually put. They may not have a high school education, whoever wrote this. Anyway, you try to organize with immediately will be the right fit for the fight. It's okay to set an agenda and invite participation and allow groups to choose. Interesting. It's okay to work together. Anyway, assessing and responding to risk, armed militias, and digital security. There will be risks. We must take this seriously. There are costs to disruption, but we should not let the threat derail us. Security is not an either-or proposition. If there is too much fear, people will not come to the streets and join us. But too much security / secrecy will stop our growth as a people-powered movement. Openness supports mass mobilization. Secrecy shuts it down. We must strike a balance between the need to create security for our organization and creating structures that allow for ease of participation. Some information needs to be distributed widely. Other information needs to be held more closely. With regard to armed actors, we have developed a separate guide to better understand what the risks are and how to prepare for armed violence against our protests. In this section, we want to provide a general overview of some of these issues. And actually, I think this goes to the PRA, which is, we'll get into it. They actually have this nice picture of organizations and what they mean, what they represent, and so forth. And so, anyway, assessing and responding to the risk, armed militias and digital security continued. Physical risks, armed militias, the threat of violence, and principles for physical security. There are risks to organizing, legal risks as well as physical. Repressive state forces and armed militia movements have grown and become emboldened significantly in recent years. It's important to realize that no matter who wins the election, their presence at our actions will continue and likely escalate. We must keep people engaged. We mustn't let fear stop us from acting. We need to learn about these groups, understand basic elements of risk assessment, take precautions, and develop our political and tactical acumen so we know that when we take action, it's worth the risk. So now they go into striking a balance. Further on, this guide offers thoughts about creating organizing structures that can work locally and yet expand to include tens of millions of people who are going to take to the streets in the event of a stolen election. Now, I think that that is a far stretch, that they're going to get tens of millions of people. I don't even think that they have maybe 1 or 2%. And so what is 1% of 300 million, 3.3 million? There's no way. There is no way they're in the numbers of tens of millions. But the fact of the matter is, because we are nice, we allow this kind of crap to continue. We have to start being good, which means we have to defend our property, we have to defend our rights, and we have to defend our lives. Moving on, assessing and responding to risk, armed militias and digital security. Physical security at actions is about awareness and preparedness. Digital security before action is about protecting our fellow organizers as best we can. However, we are not going to get into hundreds or thousands of people to adopt digital organizing and security protocols, nor should we try. And so with that, I don't want to bleed into the break, so we'll cut it right there. We'll come right back and show you how they're basically laying this all out. This is a pretty elaborate plan for somebody to actually just throw out there. There is a lot more behind this, and I want you to understand that. That's why we had Trevor Lawton talking about the organization. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so moving right along, because we really want to get into this because we just have two more days after today's episode this week to kind of cover some of these things. And we're hoping that we can motivate you in actually taking action so that you are willing to get out with your other conservatives. Have these conversations with your party friends. Have conversations with your community. At least get out in your community and make sure it does not get taken over. Have you had that conversation yet? Are you doing something to protect your lives and property? Folks, you can't expect the days are over when we can count on an honest, you know, law enforcement and honest government. We have to take action. We believe that this is them talking now. This is the globalists teaching these useful idiots. And they go on and say, we believe that ultimately our sheer numbers and our defense of the election results is what protects us. In that vein, we would encourage you to prioritize communicating with and inviting in masses of people to action. Later in this document, we will talk about action council structures, which enable some groups to be more closed in communication while having more open structure for the vast majority of participants. We must understand that the work is necessary. No good work, no transformative work comes without risk. And while we can try to lessen some of the risk, we must realize that any kind of mass disruption is going to raise questions and invite unwanted surveillance from the powers that be. We must balance keeping ourselves safe with the need to effectively organize to meet the need of time. Let me stop really quick right here. Most people may be thinking, oh, what are we going to do? I mean, these people are using their liberty and freedom to be able to politically express themselves. What we're talking about here is a direct insurrection. The Constitution provides a Republican form of government, and it is through our representatives that we change our laws and our government, not through insurrection. This is why I pointed to those articles that I wrote over, I started writing these over a year ago, and I've laid these things out for you. So when it comes down to these people out there trying to do this, they are outright rebelling against the Constitution. There is no law that protects them. There may be a court and or a court ruling, but this is why you have to get out. You have to start telling your county commissioners that they better do their job or they're gone. Because bottom line, they're violating Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We must hold them to their oath. We must hold them to calling in for either the posse and or the sheriff and militia to actually come in and step in and call for federal troops to step in. And this is why over the past 2-3 years, I've read you the Tory Acts on January 2nd in an anniversary of those acts so that you understand and start processing in your mind the reality that these folks are gone. As much as we may love them, they may be our children, they may be our neighbors, they are gone politically. They have basically vested, they're full in on communism, and especially the leaders and those who are instigating and so forth. They must be removed from American soil, just like the Tory Acts demanded that the British loyalists be removed. That means that their property, and it's not like these people have a lot of property. It's not like these kids have, you know, a lot of, you know, skin in the game. I've already mentioned that. But bottom line, if they're not willing to protect and they want to undermine our Constitution and our liberty and our rights, then we've got to let them go. So anyway, the next thing is these quick and dirty principles for organizing security. There's this huge guide that has come out, and it is the Political Research Associates that has provided this. And so this is what they talk about. There's an entire separate guide on this topic that will be coming out soon, and it's already out, and I captured it. But these are the quick and dirty principles for organized security. Know the flavor of supremacists you are dealing with. So in other words, you, my friends, are a supremacist. You, my friends, are racist, because that's what Trevor Laudan was talking about. These kids are being programmed that you hate, and you're not willing to, you know, be open-armed and talk. Are you kidding me? We have been so tolerant. We've even allowed the repugnant practice of homosexuality to become not a norm, but to be at least out in the open. Even though, you know, we have been tolerant, they take and take and take. And when they get emboldened, they start applying their intolerance. So these are the facts, and this is what we have to move forward. Know the flavor of supremacy. Okay, we already did that. And track their online presence. Okay, so the field guide of white supremacists. Learn which groups have been active in your area and track their online presence. So they actually have this, and we'll get into this. I'll actually show this for you. Plan as if violence might happen. Establish response protocols, roles, and needs for support and follow-up. Train your people on how to respond appropriately. This means not overreacting as well as being able to move decisively when needed. This also means doing the emotional prep work to prepare for begin action under the begin acting again under the threat of heightened violence and or security threats. Lean into your community activist support structures like street medic, collective house or safe houses, food support, and jail support. So there you have it. I mean, they're already saying, well, you need to start creating. This is just like what the resistance in Europe did when they were undermining. So they're basically using the exact same tactics. This is guerrilla warfare, and this is not something that is just about resistance. This is about using whatever means necessary to obtain their outcome. Remember, the ends justify the means. When at your action, operate with a high level of situational awareness. Scan your surroundings, ID threats, isolate or move threats decisively. So interesting, huh? Anyway, quick and dirty principles for organized security. Don't write or record anything down that you don't want to fall into someone else's hands. Always assume someone is listening. In-person conversations without phones or computers presence are the safest way to communicate without and about the specific details of action. So they're basically talking about OPSEC here. Don't talk about past actions you've been a part of that might pose a risk to others. If you don't have the information you need to do your work safely, then ask. If you don't need the information to do your work, then let it be. In other words, they're basically using the old adage, need to know. Yeah, that's what the intelligence community teaches. If you don't have the need to know, then you shouldn't be given this information. Hedge the action ego. We don't all need to know everything about a plan. So here they're trying to get everybody compliant to the idea that you're just here to do. You're here to act. You're not here to understand everything. You are a useful idiot without them telling these kids that read this that they're a useful idiot. Operate with trust, both as an organizing principle and as a personal commitment. If your ring of trust is small, practice expanding it. Don't talk to cops, investigators, or federal agents. Interesting, because look at all of the dirty laundry that's come out of some federal agents like the FBI and how they have failed to do what they're supposed to do. We're still seeing this today. Do you really believe that the deep state has been curtailed or that we're any closer to dismantling the deep state? I'm here to tell you no way. That there is absolutely no way that this is going on. And so this is why we see, and as a matter of fact, what has been currently happening regarding what's going on with Facebook and what's going on with Biden, the Biden laptop, and how the FBI just failed to actually report all of that. Oh, well, they didn't want to get involved in the there's crimes being committed, and they don't want to enforce the crime because of political ramifications? Folks, that in essence is the deep state. Okay, so when we come back, because we're going to be going into a break, we're going to cover useful digital security technologies. And so here you're actually going to learn about some tech and some other things that they highly recommend that you get involved in. So with that, we're going to head right into the break, and here comes the music now. And so when we come back, we will get into the security technologies and some other info that I think is really critical, and then we'll kind of close. That way we can actually get into some other topics for the other 2 days of this week. So anyway, We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so the next step that they want to cover with this disruptionproject.org stuff is the digital securities technologies. And so if you're interested in how you can have encrypted communication and secure comms and or chatting and so forth, there are a few apps that they actually list here. And I find it interesting how they're using these things that both the militia uses, everybody else, because they obviously understand that there is spying. I want to be clear. They're not worried about corporate spying, and they're really not worried about government spying. They're worried about some local government agencies, but apparently, I don't think they see a threat in the FBI and federal agencies like that. Anyway, useful digital security technologies. Especially since COVID-19, the need to communicate digitally is essential. There are encrypted apps as well as digital practices that can help protect your communications and unwanted surveillance and intervention. We offer a few of them here. Signal. Signal, while having its limitations, is a free and useful encrypted messaging app already in wide use. Setting a disappearing message timer can help can be helpful in making sure that sensitive information is erased on everyone's phones. We should note that Signal makes it somewhat difficult to delete groups. You have to both delete and block a group to avoid being forcefully rejoined. CryptPad is an encrypted alternative to the Google Doc Sheets world. In other words, are you using Google Cloud and Google Docs and so forth? It offers shared documents, spreadsheets, polls, and other useful tools for organizing. Jitsi is a free video conferencing app that is gaining popularity because of its encryption technology. However, it works best for small groups. In other words, the more people you add to the conversation, the more difficult it becomes. Now they talk about paramilitaries at your protest. And so what do you do, or what are they going to do, and what are they telling them to do when all of a sudden they recognize that armed and concerned citizens are showing up at their protests? Remember, it said paramilitaries at your protest. In other words, they really believe that they have a right to this protest. No movement history. We've been here before. Far-right paramilitaries have been a part of the American landscape since slave patrols, anti-Indian militias, rangers, and private company security forces evolved into modern-day police departments. Paramilitaries have recently become more numerous, visible, and active, encouraged by Trump's rise to power. His defense on white nationalists and his calls for violence against black people. Do you believe this? Anyway, from Charlottesville to anti-quarantine reopen rallies to protest in defense of black lives, a growing array of armed, mostly white gangs threaten to accelerate white supremacist violence. And so one of the things that they do is they kind of get into the names of these gangs and what they, you know, what their associations are and what they are doing. And so one of such names is considered the Boogaloo Boys. And apparently they are supposedly, because they what they talk about is the name and the most dangerous to activists when. So the Boogaloo Boys are more dangerous to their activists, these rebellious people, when the rebellious people are attacking the police. See, I don't want to say they're most dangerous when attacking the police, because the Boogaloo Boys aren't the ones attacking the police. So here's the question. If they're identifying that if you see the Boogaloo Boys, they're also lining or underlining and emphasizing the one thing that you shouldn't be doing at this point in time because of these guys. Do you understand? In other words, it's okay to attack police, but be careful when the Boogaloo Boys are around because their hands are not tied like the police. You can't sue them like you can sue the police. Do you understand here? The Oath Keepers, they're more dangerous because they are capable of collaborating with police. Now, the Oath Keepers have been around a long time, and the people that are in the Oath Keepers are usually former military and or law enforcement, former law enforcement, people that have served and have taken and sworn an oath to defend and preserve and support the Constitution. The next organization is called the Proud Boys. Now, they're more dangerous when they're around. And the funny thing is, this is how this is what they say. They're the most dangerous to the activist when they are counter-protesting. In other words, if they're present during their protest and counter-protesting, they are going to get directly in their face and they are going to be throwing punches. And just to be clear, this is what they're attuning these people to. So, okay, if you see the Proud Boys, you know, be ready to run because they're going to be out there throwing punches in your face. And so the next group that they identify is the militias. Defending monuments and property is when they're the most dangerous, because when you start threatening property, then hold your ground, and because it's perceived as not only just a threat of property, it's a threat to life. And so they will take, and the militias should take, measures in protecting life and property. Now, there's another group you may have heard of. They're called the 3%ers. These are also usually former military or, you know, people that are also in the militia, but it's a younger faction of the militia, working with or in law enforcement. So these guys are typically, when they see them, that means that they are usually either working with or they are in the law enforcement ranks. Sheriffs, and see, here's the danger. Sheriffs are the most dangerous. Isn't it interesting how they list sheriffs? I want you to understand that a sheriff is different because the sheriff is, unfortunately, he's deemed as the executive of the county, but he really isn't. He may have the enforcement of the law, but he does not have the ability to reach out and beyond his jurisdiction. That's where executives and being able to create relationships between other counties and bordering states and so forth is really missed in our form of government at the county level. And I'll talk more about that down the road, and we've talked about it before. But bottom line, it shows how little they think of the municipal police departments. They don't even list the police departments as a threat because they know that most of these places where they're rioting, the politicians are basically strangleholding these law enforcement or the local police departments from being able to truly engage you. So they're out there at a high risk to themselves, which is why there are more and more people that are leaving and actually abandoning law enforcement. Anyway, back to the sheriffs. Apparently, the sheriffs are even more dangerous when they're collaborating with militia and ICE. Why ICE? Oh, because they're expecting a lot of those millions of illegal aliens to be a part of these protests because, you know, Antifa and what is it, La Raza and all of these other really racist organizations aren't racist to the globalist because it's only about white supremacy. Anyway, then they have the white nationalist neo-Nazis, and they basically are tipping off these activists, these useful idiots, that if they see neo-Nazis and white nationalists, they're more dangerous when they're direct lethal people of color. And I don't know what that means other than the fact that they actually get directly involved with conflict. They go fisticuffs with the people of color, Jews and Muslims, supposedly. Now, I guess if they're true Nazis and they're true white nationalists, I guess so. But I thought that most of the white nationalists and neo-Nazis have become really ineffective just due to the fact that the Democratic Party has kind of moved towards these other racist organizations, and they're no longer supporting the Ku Klux Klan and those types of organizations. You got to remember that those organizations, Ku Klux Klan, Nazi, and so forth, those are leftist organizations. The Nazis were those who supported socialism and its implementation in Germany. That's not a rightist position and a political group. That is a leftist political group. Anyway, the last group that they identify are white mobs. They're more dangerous when they're defending property and harassing protesters. Be careful of the white mobs. So, anyway, I think you have a good feeling and a good idea as to how your children, how these useful idiots are being guided in this Bolshevik revolution. There is obviously more than enough evidence for you to know that they are committing a revolution. This is why we feel that this is paramount, that you understand this and we can be prepared moving forward. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.